Hello and welcome to the 60th episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, I'm really looking forward to the 61st podcast, but maybe we'll talk about that at the end of number 60 here.
Yeah, this could be the last podcast of the regular season.
And wow, yeah.
I think I know where you're going. You're looking forward to the off season. Starting with the NBA draft.
My season starts in the off season. Yeah, for me it's October through June. It's just a bunch of nonsense, and I can sleep through it.
Yeah, stuff that has like preordained outcomes or outcomes that are decided by scores. I just want pure speculation.
Yeah, give me those sweet trade rumors. Those ones that never come true. Like I would rather. Instead of a good 7-game series for the NBA Finals, give me 4 great days of will LaMarcus Aldridge come to Phoenix?
Well, if you enjoyed last summer's Where Will Kevin Love Go, then we're about to have a redo.
Yeah.
Only this time it's not K-Love's choice. So, yeah, we're going to break down the past 3 games of the NBA Finals since we spoke last. They've been pretty exciting. But first, I want to get to a little of the news around the league. The offseason has started for 28 other teams.
Yes, it
already
has.
Joel Embiid
is
in the news. You know, the Sixers are actually starting to talk about maybe trading one of their big men with the return of Joel Embiid, who went on Vice Sports. You know, they do these little mini videos driving around with players.
Yeah.
He was asked about food. The quote was, "I drink Shirley Temples by the pitcher. I usually drink 3 or 4 pitchers per day."
Okay.
Joel Embiid. He actually tweets about it. He celebrates special events with a pitcher of Shirley Temples.
Is there a lot of sugar in Shirley Temples?
I imagine so. Isn't it Sprite and grenadine?
Yeah, so maybe that's why he has a ton of brittle bones.
And why he got up to 300 pounds since...
He should work in some calcium-infused something or other. They said the other day, though, he did look good shooting the ball in practice. Which was probably non-contact, him just standing there shooting the ball.
It's like Yi Zhiliang looked great versus that chair.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a workout versus a chair that just blew everyone away.
He looked good against all those 5-foot Chinese players in the chairs. Right. Yeah.
Mike Conley is going to be a free agent this summer. He's one of the bigger names going to be available. And the Grizzlies have reported they have a plan to get him back.
Oh, man.
It involves using part owner Justin Timberlake to woo Mike Conley into re-signing with the team.
Like, be a song or what?
They plan on using a video featuring Timberlake as part of the recruiting pitch. The Sporting News joked about Justin Timberlake saying, "How could Mike Conley say bye, bye, bye to that?" Thought you might like that.
If you're Timberlake, do you say to that, "Guys, I've had like 12 years of stuff after that song. You couldn't have picked something a tad more recent?" Oh, well, whatever gets him Conley, I suppose.
Paul George has announced that he has a new dog.
Oh, man.
Took to Instagram, social media to tell us all about it.
Some guys have all the luck.
His new dog's name? Kobe.
Hmm.
He says it's out of honor of the Mamba, of course. His other dog's name is King. So he's actually, you know...
Bernard King?
Right.
Yeah, gotcha.
I guess, you know, Paul George naming his new pit bull Kobe is better than Kobe naming his dog after a curse, if you recall from a previous...
Oh, he named after a Harry Potter curse or something?
Yeah, I think it was Crucio.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the curse that gives you, you know, unbearable pain.
Yeah, wasn't that like an unforgivable curse?
Unforgivable.
We got the nod from the Potter fan in the room.
I have a new section, Matt. This one I just heard about today via the OC Register. I'm calling this segment, "Good Thing the Clippers Owner is Good at Computers." The Clippers continue to explore ways of broadcasting in non-traditional means. They were offered $60 million a season from Fox Sports. Their contract with them ended after the end of the season.
Yeah.
They turned down $60 million a year, and then I guess Fox came back and gave them a lowered offer in February.
I don't know what
sort of strategy
lower,
that was.
Lower, you said?
Correct.
Okay.
And now, of course, they turn that down as well and are thinking about doing some sort of new streaming service. They're launching a search to see how their fans watch games and want to do possibly what is called an OTT or over-the-top service.
So something that would be completely under their control.
Something that would be completely under their control and I guess generate revenue for them in some capacity. Yeah. Most, you know, online services are more, you know, either a subscription base or a advertising.
I do have the baseball package and I do watch that online and it's not, it's actually pretty effective. Mm-hmm. It's not terrible. And I know when you started living out here in LA, you had the online package for basketball,
right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was kind of wonky, but that was almost a decade ago at this point, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. So it's better now. It seems like a tad bit more of a hassle for some people who don't want to, who just want to flip on the TV. And
I joke with the segment title, but I, you know, if anybody really is qualified to pull something like this off, that's not wonky, stupid version of a streaming service, it's probably the ex-CEO of Microsoft.
Ballmer will just get a group of young tech guys together and just start screaming at him and he'll rip his shirt and like lead the cheers.
Some sweaty pits marching back and forth across the stage.
Yeah.
Well, that's the update around the league. Let's get into some finals analysis and fun facts. Starting with game three of the NBA Finals, which was the complete blowout of the Cavs, won by 33 points against the Warriors.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I saw after that game that Golden State has lost every single game three in the past five playoff series that they've had.
Wow.
Every game three.
They just want to keep it close. They just want to, you know, have fun.
Yeah, the Cleveland starters in that game outscored Warriors starters 105 to 57.
So they shot 27% that game from three-point range and 42% field goals. Klay went 1-for-7 from threes.
This was also the game that Kevin Love missed because of the concussion.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Jefferson started in his place. This is probably my favorite fun fact from game three. The last time Richard Jefferson started in an NBA Finals game before was versus Steve Kerr, who was playing for the San Antonio Spurs.
Wow.
I think Jefferson was on the New Jersey Nets at that time.
Yeah, someone I followed tweeted a picture of David Robinson celebrating while Richard Jefferson stood there.
Oh, yeah.
That's so
Steve
crazy.
Steve Kerr was on that team.
I'm a big Kevin Love fan. I do not like Cleveland Cavs Kevin Love. I don't know if anyone does, but he's just so out of place. He doesn't know, he doesn't look aggressive. He looks like he almost looks like he doesn't want to be in the way.
Yeah, I told my friend the other day that 41 points by Kyrie in game 5 to me was the statement game that if the Cavs lose this series, we're blaming Kevin Love, not me.
Right. No, it
statement
is.
Statement game. That,
Kyrie played incredible, and Kevin Love's averages this series are 8.8 points, 6 rebounds.
Wow. He was like white Moses Malone 2 years ago.
People are
with
saying
a 3-point shot.
People are saying he'd put up great numbers on a bad team, but they were great numbers. I mean, people play on bad teams all the time and they don't consistently put up great numbers.
Yeah.
I used to think when I would see Kevin Love open from 3, I was like, "Oh, that's going in." Like he just hits that shot. Now last night, I remember I was watching him or 2 nights ago. And he was open for 3. I said, the Warriors need this rebound. And that's the thing I was thinking. Not, he's going to make it.
Yeah, also in this game 3, when the Cavs destroyed the Warriors, LeBron could be repeatedly heard yelling on offense, get the ball to who he's guarding, pointing at Steph Curry. LeBron and the whole team was just attacking Curry while Curry was playing defense. And I felt like not only that, but is attacking Curry's psyche and confidence directly by calling him out by name. Lil Wayne's rooting for the Cleveland Cavs.
Oh, wow. Lil B versus Lil Wayne. Matchup.
During game 3, he dropped a brand new song called Off, 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 insinuating that that's what the Cavs are about to go do go off.
Be off. Oh, go off.
To go off. He shouts out LeBron James, Kyrie, Kevin Love, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, Matthew Dellavedova, and of course his homeboy J.R. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Timofey Mozgov.
One of the lines in the song is, "The king wants his crown back. He never took it off." Off. Yeah. At the end of the track, the funniest part is he tells Ty Lue that he's got a, like, you know how the rappers will just, well, a lot of rapping is just talking, but towards the end they'll just start trailing off.
Yeah.
At the end of the song is just like, "Hey Ty Lue, the next time I talk to you, I got a funny story for you." You know, and then the song ends.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that story for Ty Lue?
I think that's what Tyronn Lue is really concerned about at this point.
Right. So game four was the big game where, big surprise, Draymond Green took a nut shot.
Yeah.
Or gave one out again. And then it became the trash talking back and forth. LeBron James was apparently called a bitch.
Ooh.
And he did not like that.
No.
He responded to Draymond Green saying, like, "Hey, man, I got three kids and I'm a man."
He just listed. Yeah, I like that as a rebuttal.
Draymond Green's response to that: "You're still a bitch."
Oh, that's great. I was hoping you would say that.
Klay Thompson had something to say about it. He said, "Guys talk trash in this league all the time. I'm kind of shocked some guys take it so personal. I don't know how James feels, but obviously people have feelings and people's feelings get hurt, even if they're called a bad word. I guess his feelings just got hurt. I mean, we've all been called plenty of bad words on the basketball court. Some guys just react to it differently." Of course, media being the media, asked LeBron James to comment on Klay Thompson's statements.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's statement: "My goodness, I'm not going to comment on what Klay said because I know where it can go from this sit-in. It's so hard to take the high road. I've been doing it for 13 years. It's so hard to continue to do it, and I'm going to do it again."
Mm-hmm.
To which Ayesha Curry, wife of Stephen Curry, tweeted, "High road, invisible bridge used to step over said person when open floor is available left to right." Referring to how LeBron James stepped over Draymond, sort of teabagged the back of his head.
Power move.
And inspired Draymond to take the swipe at the King's jewels.
I'm not... I had something, but that just completely...
J.R. Smith, about the bitch calling, said, "There's definitely some things you can't say to another man, but some people don't live by that code."
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a theory that Draymond said something much worse to LeBron James than call him a bitch.
Yeah.
I think that in this day and age, the truth always comes out, especially when you're a celebrity, and people like LeBron James know that. You know, often the cover-up is worse than the crime. So they had to say Draymond said something, right?
Right.
And they couldn't have just kept making it this, building it up and building it up to just say, like, "Well, this is the thing. He crossed the line. LeBron James is a father. He's a husband. Like, there are some things that even sports trash talk is just too bad for."
Right. Because
that was the rhetoric immediately after the game. You know, his players, teammates saying that sort of shit, like, "Draymond is a shit talker and we love him, but this went too far," right?
Right.
I think the whole bitch thing is something that the PR team quickly is just like, "Okay, this is what we're going to say. You're going to come across as a little, you know,
it's
weak for being so offended by being called a bitch," which is a common, you know, diss. It's not very creative.
It's just kind of rude. That's all. It's not me. It's just, it's not the worst thing you can call. Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Garnett in the last series told us, he endearingly told Dion Waiters, "Fuck you, give me the ball." And they're on the same team.
Yeah. Wait, Kevin Garnett said that?
Or Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Durant.
Kevin Durant told Dion Waiters.
I was going to say that. From KG, that is endearing. That's about the most endearing he can get.
Yeah, KG probably calls all of his teammates bitch. I mean, I think Zach LaVine was probably his bitch all year.
Oh, we know that, yeah.
Tim Donaghy came out and said that the NBA suspended Draymond Green to prolong the series.
Oh, yeah? What, is he... Would he wouldn't happen to have money on that, would he?
He might have. Maybe he's banned from all NBA gambling for life.
The reason they had to suspend Draymond is not because of the series. It's because if they didn't and he kept doing and that kept happening, like, how would it make them look, you know?
Yeah, did you see that Kiki Vandeweghe's wife tweeted and then deleted the tweet that she was arguing with her husband about the Draymond suspension?
Oh, really? She deleted it, huh?
She did. Jason Concepcion, a writer for Bill Simmons' new website, The Ringer, wrote an interesting article about Draymond and how it's essentially his non-suspension during the Stephen Adams kick, and now suspension now is going to add to the lore of the NBA conspiracies.
Right.
This quote I thought was pretty great from Concepcion, who's saying that he kind of hopes the conspiracies are true, even though they might not be. He wrote, "I'd rather live in a world where smart, slightly nefarious people work behind the curtain than I would the real one, where chaos reigns, humanity is fallible, and players kick each other in the nuts multiple times only by accident."
That's such a glamorous, awe-inspiring quote that just I like it.
There's some more funny jewels in here.
Jewels, Bob.
Pun unintended.
Again.
Pump Adam Silver full of sodium pentothal, which I assume is some sort of truth serum.
Yeah.
And ask him if he wants the Indiana Pacers to play the Portland Trailblazers in the finals, and he'll scream, "Fuck no," before chomping down on a cyanide capsule secreted in his official partner of the NBA, Tissot Watch. Just imagine Silver scrunching his face while watching Dre's arm swinging into LeBron frame by frame as if he were examining the Zapruder film, as Kiki Vandeweghe wonders aloud if Green's hand merely got the cheeks and taint or actually impacted the sack, which is a thing that definitely happened, by the way. Is this not why we watch? Is this not the best sport in the world? I tend to agree with him. The last quote from this article, recommend it. That's what makes the debate around LeBron and Draymond so fun, so circular, and so hypocritical. No one likes being called a bitch. Moreover, no one likes admitting that they don't like being called a bitch. And furthermore, being stepped over is basically the physical embodiment of being called a bitch, so don't do it, because you know how it makes people feel. It makes them feel feelings. The other conspiracy theory that I heard about on the Ringer's NBA show was that, if you noticed in Game 5, the Cleveland Cavaliers were wearing their sleeved jerseys, their black sleeved jerseys.
Oh, yeah, right.
Earlier in the season, the first time the Cavs wore those jerseys, LeBron proceeded to rip both of the jerseys off, or the sleeves off of his jersey, during a game versus the Knicks on national TV.
Just because he wasn't
shooting well. He felt like they were too tight. This theory went that, you know, after Game 4, LeBron and Ty Lue were both sort of calling for, they weren't sort of, they were calling for Draymond to be suspended for the nut shot.
Mm-hmm.
The theory goes that LeBron gets home and Adam Silver is sitting waiting for him in, like, you know, in the dark. And LeBron says, like, "Well, are you going to suspend Draymond? What's the deal?" And Adam Silver just slides the sleeve jersey across the table, you know, and LeBron says, "Okay." And then Silver picks up the phone. He's just like, "Draymond's out."
I like
but
that.
But he swears the NBA is not rigged, Adam Silver.
Is it ripping the sleeves off a jersey? Is that something he can get fined for? I mean that seriously. It seems like a,
I don't know.
Seems like a slightly petty thing that would draw a fine.
I read more about the sleeves today than I really thought would ever be written about them. Apparently, after that sleeve-tearing incident, the Cavs went to their main seamstress, who also does jerseys for the Browns.
Yeah.
And she took the principle that she does for quarterbacks' jerseys, or NFL players and NBA players, too, all like to have their jerseys pretty tight.
Right.
Except quarterbacks like to have them looser,
sure,
on the shoulder, so they have more of a range of motion.
Yeah.
So it looked like the sleeves were a little looser last night. And they were definitely a lot looser without Draymond in the backcourt.
Right.
This next segment, this one could possibly be a recurring segment coming up. It's called J.R. Smith is Always Looking for New Ways to Get High. This is a quote from J.R. Smith about his coach, Tyronn Lue.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You don't drink, you don't smoke, all you do is hoop, and you live on a natural high. And he was sitting on championship rings, that's how he did it. That's why I need one, so I can sit on that natural high."
Yeah, okay.
Until then, I guess it'll just be have to have cocaine, alcohol, and strippers. That'll have to do.
Until he gets the natural high, he'll have to settle for the other one.
The hoverboards. So game five was the last game we all just watched. So in game four, the Warriors set the finals record for both three-point makes and three-point attempts. Okay. And in game five, they broke their own record for three-point attempts and set a record for three-point misses.
So now they own the finals records for makes, misses, and attempts.
Correct.
It's
the second place for attempts.
Wow. It's funny how when they're missing, like that game the other night, those crazy Steph Curry shots, when they're missing, just
look like bad
they
shots.
Look really bad. Yeah. They look really bad. He took one of those ones where he was guarded. They were down by 10, maybe with 5 minutes left or something, and he threw up one of those wacky shots, and it just clanked really awfully looking, and it goes from, what are you doing, Steph, to when he's making those, you're like, oh, why don't you take that? Why wouldn't you shoot that? But, yeah.
I guess that's why they're so amazing when those impossible shots go in. So LeBron James has now won a road game in 26 consecutive playoff series.
Wow.
Extending his own NBA record. Kevin Love's numbers for game five, 2 points, three rebounds, four fouls.
Oh, his stats. Sorry, I thought you meant his overall record. Yeah, his stats were very bad.
And that's in 33 minutes of action.
He just didn't want it. He just didn't want to get in the way.
Yeah, Tom Izzo was quoted as saying that Draymond felt he was letting his teammates, his city, and his owner down. Green watched the game from across the way in the Oakland A's stadium.
Right, with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He was watching with Marshawn Lynch. Some other people that came by were general manager Bob Myers, his Nike shoe representative Adrian Stelly, his personal manager, and his agent BJ Armstrong, among other friends. They were watching with the broadcast commentary turned down. I guess he probably wasn't paying too much attention to the A's 14-5 route of the Rangers. Oh, by the way, at the end of game five, you know, which the Cavs won by 15 points, fans leaving the arena were chanting, "LeBron's a bitch, LeBron's a bitch."
Nice. They were booing him the entire game.
Solidarity for Draymond.
Do we know why Channing Frye didn't play in game five at all?
I don't know, although one of my stats of the finals is that so far Channing Frye has not made a single field goal in the NBA finals.
In the finals at all?
Not one.
Wow. How is that even possible? How many has he taken here? He's only taken three field goals in four games.
He's hardly played. His defense is too terrible.
Yeah, but, I mean, we knew that going in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he had great defense the last series, but he was hitting threes.
LeBron James is meant to play power forward, and Tristan Thompson at the five. That's just the best lineup they have.
It might be. The Cavs last year traded two first-round picks to get Mozgov and now hardly play him, and then they traded another first-round pick to get Fry and hardly play him. I guess those are obviously going to be not great first-round picks, but Fry can contribute off the bench, but if you're going to make these trades, I don't know why you don't play. It's just weird to make these trades to find out that these guys just can't play in the system you want to run. But yeah, you're right. LeBron playing the floor four, and Thompson's a perfect five because he doesn't need the ball, and he gets all the rebounds.
Yeah. Man, with 5 minutes to go in the first half, Steve Kerr really showed how much he missed Draymond Green. This is a chain of events that happened, okay? 5:09 to go, Anderson Varejão entered the game for Festus Ezeli at center. He was replaced by Andrew Bogut less than a minute later, who was subbed out for Maurice Spates 35 seconds after that. So in 1 minute and 24 seconds of game time, Steve Kerr tried four of his five available big men.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst highlighted Draymond Green as a defender in the finals so far. So versus LeBron James, these are all shot attempts on Draymond Green in the finals. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is 5 of 14 with 4 turnovers. Kevin Love is 5 of 13, and Kyrie Irving is 4 of 12.
Wow.
They really missed him. Steph Curry needs 5 more three-pointers to tie Danny Green's record for most three-pointers made in the final series. What do you think?
I think the Warriors will win.
I think so, too.
It might be a little close. This might be the first game under 10 points.
I hope so.
But they don't have bad back-to-back shooting games, and plus Draymond coming back. For as great as Kyrie and LeBron played, they needed to play that great.
And the only time they lost back-to-back games all year was versus the Thunder in the playoffs, mm-hmm. last playoff series. Right. But holy cannoli, Matt. Oh, this NBA draft is going to be crazy with trades.
Oh, I hope so.
Listen to this. According to Alex Kennedy on Twitter, 9 teams have 36 picks total in the 2016 draft. That's 60% of the draft.
Whoa.
Nine teams. Yeah, Daryl Morey, I listened to him on the Adrian Wojnarowski right. podcast. He said his intel tells him that as many of 20 of the 30 first-round picks are up for grabs.
I believe it.
Teams are shopping them aggressively, and you know, people don't like where they're picking. So Boston has 8 picks in this draft.
I was going to say, at this point with Kevin Love, Boston has 5 second-rounders. They might just give Kevin Love to the Celtics for all 5 second-round picks.
Yeah. Yeah, they have 3, 16, 23, 31, 35, 45, 51, 58 picks. Followed by Denver, who has 5 picks. Phoenix, 4 yeah. picks. Right. Actually, some pretty good ones, too. 4, 13, 28, and 34. Like I said, I expect a lot of these picks to be on the move. Right behind Phoenix, or the same number of picks as Utah, has 4, although not as high profile. Philadelphia has the number 1, 24, and 26, 3 first-rounders, no second-rounders. Atlanta, Milwaukee, Orlando, and New Orleans all have 3 picks themselves.
Wow.
So Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent this summer, perhaps you've heard. And the offers are starting to come in. Boston's Legal Seafood offered KD free crab legs for life if he comes to the Boston Celtics.
Which wow. is
just brilliant advertising
sure.
in my mind. You know,
yeah.
if KD takes him up on it, that would be funny. But just the fact that by saying that, they got talked about on every sports media outlet, including the Brick House podcast.
Yeah.
For free. Genius. It made me think that the Lakers are probably going to offer KD free weed vaporizer cartridges.
Yeah.
For coming to their town.
Until he wins and he gets that natural high, Bob.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
The coveted natural high.
Yeah.
Sitting on that.
Yeah.
The Spurs have offered KD a lifetime supply of dad jeans if he were to join the team. Tim Duncan will show him the secret stash.
Yeah.
The Warriors have offered free tours of Google, Apple, and Facebook. But KD is rumored to be holding out for his own emoji keyboard.
That's
not happy. Steph beat him to the punch on that. We got the diss of the week. Yo mama is so fat. This one, not surprisingly, came from Draymond Green. This was after Game 3 before all of the hubbub. In fact, after this last nut shot, he's really been less outspoken, saying, you know, when asked about LeBron and the suspension, he said, well, you know, it's already over. LeBron's a great player. No comment.
Yada, yada.
We're going to win the next game. After Game 3, when they lost by 33, Draymond came out and said, they came out like their season was on the line, and we came out like it was peaches and cream. He keeps it real, man.
He does.
Keeps it 100.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're going to be talking about the NBA draft. One of my previews, Matt, And what I'm hoping for, against all hope, in fact, it would make my year as an NBA fan, is if Sam Hinkie crashed the 2016 NBA draft.
Does it sober or completely hammered?
No, completely drunk.
Yeah.
I'm imagining not only is he like in a complete drunken rage, but my hope against hope is that he decides to come dressed as the moa, the extinct New Zealand flightless bird that he compared himself to.
This is me. This is me. Well, only if right after the Sixers take Ben Simmons, he can be on stage just breaking down in tears. And then us, the viewer, have to wonder, are those tears of joy or tears of sadness?
Yeah, I'm imagining it as like the Jerry Maguire, like, who's coming with me speech, you know? Only it's a 5-foot-tall, 400-pound flightless bird.
Yeah.
You know, and really Sam Hinkie's crazy ass. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking about that. I guess just follow us on Twitter at BrickHousePod and check out the launch of our new website coming out this week, BrickHousePodcast.com. We're launching on possibly the last day of the NBA season, but like we said,
know how to time it.
It's really our first day of the NBA offseason.
Yeah.
It's when our hijinks really start.
Any sucker can pay attention to the regular season.
We'll tell you all about it. Please check out the website. We'll be communicating with our fans even more through there. So I hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon
on the next episode of Brick House.